Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom's a chartered financial consultant, accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. He's got more than 28 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. Tom is also a Crown Ministries budget coach, business and church consultant as well. We would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 800-386-3700. Visit us online at theeconomyofgod.com. There's a quarterly newsletter that you can sign up for absolutely for free. Also pick up a copy of Tom's latest book, Knowing the Economy of God, which he's really excited about today because he got mentioned in his own hometown. They say a prophet has no honor in his hometown, but
yes.
obviously your book did get some recognition, huh?
Yes, it did. At our church in San Dimas, we go to CCV, Christ uh-huh. Church of the Valley, where affectionately Engineer Annie goes to church.
From the Frank Pastore
show. Mm-hmm. Right. And our pastor mentioned our book and really liked it. He read it and it was just kind of exciting and kind of made our day.
Yeah, and he doesn't even know you. So
no.
He just ended up with the book and was mentioning it.
One of our friends handed it to him a couple of months ago and he was going on sabbatical and vacation and he read it on vacation.
Oh, that's great.
Now he's doing his financial talk and discussions and it was really kind of him. Really cool. Pastor Chuck Boer.
Hey, Reba. It's a great book.
Oh, thank you, Reba. I appreciate that. Well, listen, we're on a new subject today.
I know, and I'm so excited. I want to find out. What are we going to be talking about?
Well, I will tell you if you can answer me, closing your eyes, what is the 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 verses that we start our program off, Knowing the Economy of God, every single week?
Okay, and my eyes are closed.
Yeah,
for
you
those
can't
of you
look.
You can't see me.
Right.
Okay, all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, correcting, and rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. I messed up in the middle, didn't I?
No, that's great.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we know all scripture is God-breathed. That's what the book is about. God's thinking. What God says, God's economy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our program is about, knowing the economy of God. And again, the website is theeconomyofgod.com. You can sign up for our free newsletter, email me, or get the book, Knowing the Economy of God. So today, Reba, we start out a new subject. Yay!
Woo!
Ready?
Let's hear it.
Okay, here it goes. We are going to be talking about, in a 10-part series, the top 10 financial tips for a great marriage.
Ooh, this is a good one. We have a young married who engineers here. He just left our studio.
Yes, he did.
We got to pull him back in here
so
we can hear this.
Now, again, the title, Reva, top 10 financial tips for a great marriage. Not just a mediocre or average marriage. We're talking a great marriage.
A lot of people settle for average.
Yes. And why?
Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, this is how everybody else does it. This is what I was taught.
But Reba, is that what God would really have for people, for Christians, for his children, a mediocre, average marriage?
Glory to glory is what God has for us.
Amen.
And that means not being satisfied with mediocre, but being willing to grow as God would grow us.
Exactly. So why would God be satisfied? And I don't think we should either, do you, with an average or mediocre marriage? No. That's why we're calling this series 10 parts, one part per week for 10 weeks.
Fantastic.
One economic principle per week for 10 weeks. The 10-part series, top 10 financial tips for a great marriage.
Great marriage.
Not
I
an
love
average
that.
Marriage. Not, I'm married, Reba, It's all right. Well, how's your relationship? It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, Reba.
Now,
we've got a great marriage.
We've got a lot of people listening that are single or that have been in a marriage for a long time that feel like, well, they're probably talking about starting out your marriage.
Right.
But this is stuff that you can use to take your marriage that you already have into greatness. And this is stuff that you can use if you're single.
Yes.
And get married in the future.
Exactly. Reba, if you're going to get married, don't you think you want a great marriage in every category of your relationship?
Yeah.
Oh, sure you do.
Yeah, of course.
Why wouldn't you?
Of course.
And finances are clearly and obviously one of the most sensitive and difficult areas of a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So why not before you get married, or if you're newly married, or even if you've already been married for a long time, why not do things God's way? Now, the listeners might be saying, well, what do you guys know about doing things God's way?
Yeah, what is God's way?
Well, God's way is what the Word of God says.
That's right.
Now, we talked about 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Mm-hmm. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Okay, the book and the program, our lives, the ministry, the business, the website, it's all about understanding what God says, obeying Him, following what He says, and living. Practical applications for living.
Well, Tom, tell us, what does God's Word say?
Well,
what are the anchors here?
Okay. Well, the anchors, of course, we always talk about the four anchors of God's economy. Number one, God is the one and true only owner. Number two, stewardship, or managing what God owns and what we don't own, is anchor number two. Anchor number three, of course, as we've discussed before, is we're supposed to be cheerful and liberal givers, which is the first order of being a good steward. And fourth, the fourth anchor, is contentment, learning to live a contented life because Jesus Christ is enough.
Mm.
And the recipe that we always use, Reba, as you know, is we cite the scripture, we define the principles, we learn to talk and discuss how to live, the application to normal living,
mm-hmm.
and then the prayer of change, asking God through His strength, love, and power to change us, to conform to what He says for us to do.
So if you're listening out there and you think, you know, it sounds too hard, or I could never change, or I can't change my spots, or it's not just me, you don't know my spouse, there's no way we can get on board with this. That prayer of change is the magical part of the ingredient.
Exactly.
That's like the yeast that makes the whole thing rise, you
yes.
know? Otherwise, it's just left flat. That
right.
infusing God into it is what changes us.
Absolutely. His love and power, Reba, we just can't comprehend it. But we know He loves us with all His heart, more than any human. We know He can change us through His power and faith and
mm-hmm.
grace.
Mm-hmm.
And why on earth would we not want Him to? For what reason would we not want God to change us?
Mm.
So, Reba, let's talk about tip number one.
Ooh, we're getting to the juicy
principle
part.
Principle number one of this 10-week series. Okay? Tip number one. Each spouse must look at their own beliefs about money and decide what it is that they personally believe, regardless of marital status.
Hmm.
Then by getting the book or learning God's economy, the spouses can then verify and learn what they think they know and what they should believe about God's economy, and then make choices and decisions
so it's
about their convictions.
Tip number one, quiz time.
Yep. Quiz time.
Take a look at what you really believe.
Exactly. We're taking inventory, Reba.
Inventory.
Okay, of what you believe, the spouse believes. What do each of you believe, first of all, about the Bible?
Mm.
Because that's where God's economy comes from. Not Tom Meglia or mm-hmm. any financial counselor, not CNBC, the Wall Street Journal, Money Magazine, Kiplinger's financial magazine or financial newsletters. None of that stuff. The Bible.
Hmm.
Forget me. It's the Word of God that matters, hmm. okay?
And a lot of people have separated it to the point where if you ask them about finances, they're not even going to their biblical beliefs. They're going to their personal beliefs.
Exactly. Big difference for a Christian, Reba.
It is.
Because
and
the
you
got
to take inventory of that.
Absolutely. And so what we're saying, each spouse has to take an inventory of their beliefs and convictions about money and to decide if the Bible is what they believe and accept as the authority. Otherwise, are we equally yoked or unequally yoked?
That would make us, gosh, really unequally yoked. I mean, if you've got, that's so funny that you say that, because a lot of people, Christians, go to great lengths to make sure they're equally yoked in certain areas. But then they don't regard other areas as needing to be equally yoked.
Give the audience a couple of areas where Christians, let's say singles going together or newly married couples, that look at certain things and that's what they want, but not other things like you're saying.
Well, some people think that they've got to put out this materialistic front. And other people
mm-hmm.
believe that it's more about saving for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Some people believe that that, you know, it's all about work hard, play hard. Other people think that, you know, they want to take it easy and not have as much. I mean, and we really should look at those kind of things before we start.
Absolutely, Reba. It would save many potential divorces that occur in the Christian community if they would look at the financial situation and decide, what do I believe in my life?
Yeah. Okay, this is so great. We're starting a new series. It's part one of a 10-part series on 10 financial tips for a great marriage. We're taking inventory today. We'll be right back. We've got some juicy stories as well as a prayer of change that's going to minister to you right where you're at. We'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them, or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God with our host Tom Meglia. We would love to hear from you. The number is 800-386-3700. Visit us online at theeconomyofgod.com. Pick up our quarterly newsletter. Pick up a copy of Tom's latest book, Knowing the Economy of God. We're in the first part of a 10-part series on financial tips for a great marriage. We are taking inventory, and we just discussed the top tip, which is really look at what your beliefs are.
Right, and see if either of you or each of you believes that the Bible and the economic principles taught in the Bible regarding money and finances is what you want, is what you say, and those are your convictions. And then Reba, also, when we talk about being equally yoked, boy, the Bible says that, not to partner with an unbeliever. It talks about being equally yoked in thinking and mind, having the mind of Christ, this kind of thing. See, and then after that's done, after you take your inventory, you get together for a meeting, you and your spouse, and you say, well, here are my likes and dislikes, my differences with you, my similarities with you.
Wow.
Well, let's talk about them. Let's communicate about them and see what we agree on and what we disagree on. Mm-hmm. And let's match it up to the Bible and maybe get Tom's book and see if, you know, it can bring clarity to the muddy waters about what really is the truth from God's perspective.
Uh-huh.
So that's important, Reba. And then when the two spouses start living that way, they merge. They grow. They build a relationship. Finances are not a crack in the block of their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They're a building block of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key number one thing that has to begin. Now, let me give you an example, Reba, then give me your thoughts on this. What happens, though? Let's say the wife is a tither. She believes in tithing. and she likes to give. And let's say the husband doesn't believe in tithing. He just wants to give. Yeah. Or just wants to give a small amount.
Okay.
See what can happen there?
Yeah.
Think about the crack. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, that could create a lot of tension. And I tell you, as a woman, I've been in plenty of prayer groups and Bible studies that were female only. I've heard plenty of women say that they want to tithe or they want to give and their husband doesn't. And it's a real burden on them. It's a burden on their heart. They feel like that's what God wants them to do, and they feel like they're not able to do it.
Mm. Because I can see why. Because oftentimes certain husbands are controlling, not all, some, and they say, no, we're not doing this. And many Christian wives want to defer to the husband and follow his lead and that kind of thing. But in their hearts, they're aching because they want to give.
Sure.
And perhaps I've seen many cases where the husband doesn't want to. In fact, there's a story here, Reba. Stacy, who's a Christian, this is a couple I was working with 3 years ago. This isn't their real names, but I'll call them Stacy and Dan. Stacy's a Christian, and she married Dan, who wasn't a Christian. And their values and beliefs are so different. It has led to arguing, dismay, and real trouble when it comes to finances. Mm-hmm. So now you have a believer marrying an unbeliever, and they're not getting along, number one, because she wants to do things for the Lord and give and bring people to Christ, missions. He doesn't think like that at all, and why would he? He's not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of arguing and fighting in their relationship.
Yeah, I've seen even where one of the spouses wants to live more by faith and less by work.
Oh.
And the other spouse is more of a hands-on, let's get it done type.
Right.
And then they have a lot of tension because of that. There's so many different points of view that people are coming from financially. And I just think that's one of the – it's never on your mind when you're, you know, galloping through the tulips with this new love before you get married. That's the last thing you want to bring up.
Infatuation and attraction.
Gosh.
Infatuation. And attraction.
Sure. That's, you know, you're like, you know what? That's he paid for dinner. I'm not going to ask him about how he wants to run his finances.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so many games going on.
Yeah, and
on
he's like, you know what? She smiled at me. She likes me. Yep. I'm not going to ask her about what she wants to do with her finances for the next 30 years.
Well, no, because number one, they don't want to turn one another off.
Right.
And think, oh my gosh, they're prying or all this kind of, there's so many games going on.
Yeah.
But the tip is correct because tip number one says, go back to the Bible. If you're Christians and you believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God, infallible, Reba, 100%, then you take your disagreements or your beliefs or your values and go back to Scripture, and that's where you begin, because that should be the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can work from that point. But so many people say, well, you know, he or she doesn't think this quite this way enough, and I know it's a red light, Reba. I know it's a warning light, Tom, but you know what? I'm just going to let it go, and we're going forward anyway.
So what happens if you get into the marriage and you're listening right now, and you go home and you take inventory and you get your husband to take inventory of your wife, and then you look at it and you go back to the Bible and you try to get things in line, and you just can't agree about some things?
Well, what you do, Reba, is number one, the two spouses need to sit down and pray together. The husband and wife need to pray about this, the prayer of change. And
is that where
God,
you sit there and pray that your spouse will change?
No. That's where you...
the prayer of you please change?
No.
Wrong prayer?
Wrong prayer. But I like your idea. I like that idea. I think that each spouse, though, needs to come to the Lord and pray together and say, okay, Lord, show us what the Word of God really says. And we'll change because we love the Lord.
And the fact
to
is...
to what the Bible says.
Yeah, the fact is... you're going to be happier when you line things up with what God is doing instead of trying to go out on your own limb. And it's real easy to forget that. Sometimes we just get we get off a little bit and we start seeing that carrot in front of our face. And
right.
We think, gosh, if I could just reach that, then I'll be happy.
I know.
Then I'll be happy. But the fact is, when you line up with what God says,
right,
that's where freedom and happiness in that joyous eternal sense comes from.
Exactly. That's why this show is called Knowing the Economy of God, not How to Get Rich Quick. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This show isn't about getting rich quick. It's about knowing God's economy. And so when people pray together, Reba, that's a great start, because they put down their defenses, they've gotten rid of the ego and pride, and said, Lord, why don't you decide? Tell us what your word says. And that's where counseling comes in. I financial counseled three people this morning, or whatever I'm trying to say. I worked with three people this morning on financial counseling. And, you know, we go back to the right squares to get our thinking in line with God. So counseling, the Bible says in Proverbs all over the place, seek wise counsel. Mm-hmm. There's safety in a multitude of counselors.
And it's like you said, that DSI, debt scene analysis.
Debt scene investigation.
Investigation.
Right.
It's hard to go to someone and to kind of open up all your dirty laundry, your dirty financial laundry, but there's safety and wisdom in that counsel.
Exactly.
If you're out there listening right now and you're just ashamed of what you've been doing with your finances, and you want to keep it in secret, in the darkness, that is not the Spirit of God encouraging you to do that.
Right.
Because when you bring it to the light, that's when God is going to be able to get in there and have room to move around and open up and change some things in your life. As long as you're trying to keep that. And listen, my friend, God knows. You're not hiding any of this financial stuff from God.
Right.
You're trying to hide it from yourself, but you're still feeling the stress that it's causing you inside.
Exactly, Reba. And this lady, Stacy, I've been working with her on her budgeting for a little over 3 years. Boy, it's been tough. Because he won't come to the meetings. He doesn't want to hear anything a Christian financial guy has to say. And there's all the control and ego issues. She knew before she married him she was committing a sin. She knew.
She did it anyway.
She didn't care. He was going to make her financially safe, secure, and without worry, you know, about her finances, which heals a wound growing up when her dad left her and her mom growing up and left them starving.
Mm-hmm.
She vowed that would never happen to her when she was 6 years old. You know, the dad ran away and the mom was left having to go back to work. So she had this wound wanting to have that medicated and healed by marrying someone who would be financially secure.
Did that not happen? Or?
He's got her financially secure, but super upset because everything she wants to do is for the Lord and he doesn't want to do anything like that. But that's not a surprise.
Yeah, that's not why. That wasn't part of the deal when they got married.
No, he wasn't a believer and he said so.
Right.
He said, that's all for you. I don't care about this Jesus. I don't want it. That's for you. Stacy and Dan was like, that's not for me. I don't want it. And she got the financial side all secure and everything. And then she's got everything she needs and wants. You can, you know, just all that kind of stuff. But now she's upset because she doesn't have a Christian partner that she loves. She loves the man, but he's not a Christian partner. He won't pray with her or go to church. So she gave up one thing to get another. Reba, you got to go back to the Bible in your marriage and decide what's true. And you're going to change your thinking to align with the Word of God.
And you've got to introduce some humble prayers about your finances. Tom, you want to do that prayer of change right now?
Absolutely. The prayer of change. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for our families and our health and everything you give us, Lord, which is everything we have. Change us, Lord, by your love and power to obey you and to have a great marriage. Teach us, Lord, how to have a great marriage through the Spirit of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Set up an appointment. Get some wise counsel with Tom today. 800-386-3700. Visit us online at theeconomyofgod.com.
Listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.